Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, June the 9th, Pope Francis celebrates Pentecost, encouraging Christians to open their hearts to the Holy Spirit, and appeals for dialogue in the embattled nation of Sudan. Police in Sudan use tear gas on protesters, further crushing hopes for a peaceful transition to democracy. And over a million protesters take to the streets in Hong Kong to protest a proposed extradition bill. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis this morning celebrated Holy Mass on the Feast of Pentecost, lamenting divisions and urging believers to open their hearts to the Holy Spirit, whom he said brings harmony and unity. Addressing the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square on Sunday morning, the Pope urged them to implore the gift of the Spirit that, he said, makes us artisans of concord, sowers of goodness, apostles of hope. On the Feast of Pentecost, the Pope reflected on the liturgy of the day and explained that thanks to the Holy Spirit, our lives and the life of the Church are rejuvenated and filled with love. But he explained, the Holy Spirit does not make things easier for us. He does not work spectacular miracles or take away difficulties and opponents. The Spirit, he said, brings harmony, unity and peace.
Lo spirito ha portato nelle vite dei discepoli un'armonia.
Seeing the risen Lord, he said, is not enough unless we welcome him into our hearts. And peace is not a matter of resolving outward problems. It's about receiving the Holy Spirit. Only filled with the Spirit, the Pope continued, our hearts can be peaceful, and we can achieve a harmony so profound that it can even turn persecutions into blessings.
Che può trasformare persino le persecuzioni in beatitudine.
Pope Francis said that at today's frenzied pace of life, harmony seems swept aside.
Oggi, nella fretta che il nostro tempo.
And often we look for quick fixes, but more than anything else, he said, we need the Spirit.
Senza lo Spirito, la vita cristiana è sfilacciata.
Without the Spirit, our Christian life unravels, lacking the love that brings everything together.
Senza lo Spirito.
Without the Spirit, the Pope explained, Jesus remains a personage from the past. With the Spirit, he's a person alive in our own time. Without the Spirit, Scripture is a dead letter. With the Spirit, it's a word of life. A Christianity without the Spirit is joyless moralism. With the Spirit, it is life.
Con lo spirito e vita.
The Pope noted that the Holy Spirit does not bring only harmony within us, but also among us, distributing the great variety of the Church's qualities and gifts creatively, underscoring the fact that lack of harmony in today's world has led to stark divisions. The Pope said, there are those who have too much and those who have nothing, those who want to live to 100 and those who cannot even be born. He said that in the age of the computer, distances are increasing. The more we use the social media, the less social we're becoming.
Più social, ma meno sociali.
We need the Spirit of unity, Pope Francis said, to regenerate us as Church, as God's people, and as a human family.
Abbiamo bisogno dello spirito di unità.
Let us daily implore the gift of the Spirit, the Pope concluded. Holy Spirit, harmony of God, you who turn fear into trust, and self-centeredness into self-gift, come to us. Make us artisans of concord, sowers of goodness, apostles of hope. After the Mass, Pope Francis prayed the Regina Caeli and addressed those present, asking for prayers for Sudan, where scores of people have been killed in political violence. Noting that news coming out of the African nation in the past days is causing sadness and concern,
che giungono in questi giorni dal Sudan.
He said, let us pray for this nation.
Preghiamo per questo popolo.
So that the violence may cease.
Perché cessino le violenze.
And that the common good may be sought in dialogue.
E si ricerchi il bene comune nel dialogo.
Meanwhile, police in Sudan used tear gas on protesters who were trying to erect roadblocks in the capital, Khartoum. Nathan Morley reports.
The tear gas was fired on the first day of a civil disobedience campaign, which is designed to get the ruling military council to relinquish power. At least one person was killed in the violence and several people have been reported injured. The action is led by the Sudanese Professionals Association and saw most offices, businesses and transport hubs shut on Sunday. They want to make sure that the military fails in its attempts to continue running the country. It's been reported that a number of bank, electricity and transport workers were arrested just prior to the strike. The main roads and squares in Khartoum have been deserted for days. Last week, a ruthless assault on demonstrators left over 100 people dead in the capital, crushing hopes for a swift democratic transition of power. Outside of Khartoum, there have been reports that the strike is spreading. The military took over the country after persistent protests led to the ousting of the longtime president Omar al-Bashir back in April. Then they promised a transition to civilian rule. That has yet to happen. Pro-democracy campaigners say the military council simply can't be trusted after their crackdown against a sit-in demonstration in the capital. They've also rejected an offer of talks. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Tens of thousands of protesters marched through Hong Kong today to voice their opposition to government-sponsored legislation that would allow people to be extradited to mainland China to face charges. The massive protest took place 3 days before Hong Kong's government planned to push through the bill through by the end of the month. Hong Kong's leader has pushed forward with the legislation despite widespread criticism from human rights and business groups. Opponents say that China's legal system would not guarantee the same rights to defendants as in semi-autonomous Hong Kong. Hong Kong was guaranteed the right to retain its own social, legal, and political systems for 50 years following its handover from British to Chinese rule in 1997, the so-called One Country, Two Systems framework. However, China's ruling Communist Party has been seen as increasingly backtracking on that agreement by forcing through unpopular legal changes. Albania's Prime Minister called an emergency meeting Sunday after the nation's president cancelled upcoming local elections amid ongoing violent anti-government protests. His decision came as Albanians who support the political opposition clashed with riot police during a massive protest outside Parliament. Stefan Boss has more.
With smoke from tear gas and flares still clouding the streets of the capital Tirana, political tensions remain high in Albania. In a statement, Albanian President Ilir Meta said he cancelled upcoming municipal elections as, in his words, the actual circumstances do not provide necessary conditions for true, democratic, representative and all-inclusive elections at the end of the month. Thousands of Albanian protesters who support the political opposition welcomed the move, but their protest was overshadowed by more violence. Security forces deployed water cannon and tear gassed protesters who had gathered in front of the Albanian parliament in Tirana. They protest against the prime minister for the eighth consecutive week. The Albanian opposition, led by the centre-right Democratic Party, accuses the left-wing government of links to organised crime and vote-rigging. But Prime Minister Edi Rama has denied the accusations. He said the president's decision to cancel local elections planned for June 30th was wrong. He insisted the local vote would be held as scheduled to prevent what he called political blackmail from being used to force the calling of early parliamentary elections. But demonstrators made clear they will not end the protests till the Prime Minister steps down.
It is proved that he was not elected by the people. It is proved, legally proved, it is proclaimed that he was elected by the criminals.
But the government fears the opposition rallies launched in February and in which many were injured hurt the country's image at an awkward moment. The European Union is set to decide this month whether to start negotiations to include Albania as a member. Both the EU and the United States have urged the opposition to disavow violence and start talks with government representatives to overcome Albania's worst political crisis in years. And in remarks to Albanian television, U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Matthew Palmer warned opposition political leaders that if there are acts of violence in future protests, the U.S. would consider them responsible. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Aid agencies are warning a humanitarian catastrophe is in the making in the rebel-held enclave of Idlib in northwestern Syria. It's the last significant pocket of rebel-held territory in the country, and the government offensive has reportedly already killed more than 300 people. Russian and Syrian jets have repeatedly bombed civilians, hospitals and schools, despite promises that they would be protected. Some 300,000 people have reportedly fled their homes. Meanwhile, the World Food Programme's partners on the ground are struggling to provide much-needed aid to the people holed up in Idlib, while the displaced are moving towards the border with Turkey. WFP spokesperson Marva Arvad describes the situation.
We know that there is over 300,000 people who have left their homes running, looking for safety. And this has resulted in a tremendous pressure on our partners on the ground to deliver food assistance and other sorts of assistance to those fleeing. We know that the escalation in violence continues. We're going to be looking at a catastrophe unfolding in the northwest. We have been reaching 200,000 people of the 300,000 who were recently displaced with emergency food assistance. But in addition to that, we've had scaled up in our monthly regular deliveries of food rations. Now we're going to be reaching 823,000 people through Turkey, through our cross-border operation. And this is just to keep the food security situation intact during this difficult time.
And that was WFP's Marva Arvad speaking there to UN News. Tens of thousands of people crossed the border between Venezuela and Colombia today after it reopened for the first time in 4 months. The crossing was closed in February at the Venezuelan president's request as the opposition leader prepared to bring in U.S.-backed humanitarian aid. The country has faced shortages of basic supplies as a result of a severe years-long economic crisis. UN agencies say over 4 million people have fled Venezuela since 2015. In Moldova, a political crisis has escalated with an interim president calling snap elections on the 6th of September. Pavel Filip, who was appointed by the Constitutional Court to succeed Igor Dodon, also dissolved the parliament. But the parliament declared Filip's moves illegal, saying the country's state institutions have been seized. The stalemate follows general elections in February where no clear winner emerged between rival pro-EU and pro-Russian parties. Moldova, a former Soviet republic, lies between the EU and Ukraine and is one of Europe's poorest countries. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these stories and others, you can check out our website. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.